disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Now, this is the most amazing part of the story to me. Because even when I was a child, I kind of could wrap my mind around Jesus walking on the water. Because he was fully man, but also fully God. So as a child, I was like, well, okay, God can walk on the water. I mean, he's got unlimited capabilities and capacity. So I could wrap my mind around that. But then when I would read that Peter got out of the boat, I mean, this is a guy like you and me. It's a fisherman. I could relate to Peter. He got out of the boat and walked on the water for a while. I'm like, that blows my mind. That's totally amazing to me. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I always have mixed emotions when I read this story, because there's a part of me that is so excited about it. Like, I want to live that type of life, where when God says, "Come out on the water," I would immediately be like Peter and jump out of the boat and go towards Jesus and walk on the water. I want to live a life that is like that, that's exciting to me. But when I put myself in this position, I'm usually not Peter. Just, I know my personality well enough. I know that I would try to make sure that everybody was like safe and okay and stay in the boat. And Peter, stay in the boat. It's not safe out there. Walking on the water is a bad idea. That would just be who I am. That's just my personality. I always want to make sure that people are safe. So safety sometimes for me is staying in the boat. I've noticed this attitude and how it plays out in my everyday life, though. But I also know that sometimes God is sitting out there and he's going, "Corbett, you got to come to me. You got to get out of the boat and you got to walk towards me." And it's a scary thing. You know, it's a scary thing for a lot of us. It's scary for me sometimes, but I know that God is saying it sometimes. There was this time back in 2012. If you know who I am, you'll know that I love fishing. I eat it up. I don't put it on Facebook too much because I think that all you think is that I do is just fish. But I love salmon fishing too. I love fly fishing, whatever. If it has to do with fish, I love it. And so there's this time that in 2012 where I was at my friend's condo on Whidbey Island. We would spend time at this condo every summer, kind of at the end of the summer. And the interesting thing about where their condo is, it's in Mutiny Bay, is that the salmon run right into that bay. And so it is so cool to like watch this line of salmon. When the pinks run, there is hundreds of thousands of fish that come in through that bay. And so like in the evenings, we'd watch them and they would just be in this line. And we would sit out on the beach and we would just fling out lures and just bring them right up on the beach. And it was so awesome. And we would catch fish and we'd fillet them right there on the beach and bring them up and cook them in the condo. It's like glorious. And there was this one time though that I only had a short amount of time. I was there just for a weekend. And I went out to the beach and I see this line of salmon, and it is like the biggest line that I've ever seen. Every second, there are multiple fish coming out of the water, and there are ways out there. And so I'm like, okay, I got to get out here, and I'm tying on a lure, and I'm like flinging it out there as far as I can, and I just keep coming up short. I keep coming up like 10, 20 yards short, and it was starting to get so frustrating to me. And so I was tying on bigger and bigger lures. I don't know if you know what a buzz bomb is, but it's like this big, huge metal lure. And I tied on the biggest buzz bomb that I possibly could. And I like made sure that WD-40 on my reel, that everything was working just right. My line is right. Two-handed, I'm flinging this out as far as I can, and I'm still coming up short. So frustrating. And so my buddy comes down on the beach, and he's like, "Corbin, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "Man, I'm trying to catch this fish. I mean, I'm even wading out into the water, and I can't get out there far enough to get him. The tide is out, and so it's too far to get these fish." And he's like, "Dude, we got to go out there and get these fish." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "There's a dinghy right here. Let's get this boat." Now, this dinghy was like the type that has like an inner tube around it, you know? And it was like half inflated. I mean, it wasn't even fully inflated. And it was the dinghy they'd use because they'd moor their boat out into the bay and then they'd use the dinghy to go back and forth. But their boat hadn't been out there for like the whole season. And so this boat was in poor shape. But before I know it, he's dragging this boat out on the beach. He's like, "Corbett, come help me." And so I'm like, "Okay." And so we have the oars in there and we throw just our fishing poles in this dinghy. And before I know it, I'm rowing out to these salmon. So all of a sudden, we get out into this amazing flow. Like, we were in the middle of these fish jumping everywhere. I mean, they were practically jumping in the boat. They were like all around the boat, and I just couldn't believe it. It was super exciting. We both drop our lures in, and bam, we both get on. So we both have salmon on, and we're fighting these salmon, laughing hysterically, actually. But we didn't have a net. We didn't have anything. Like, we didn't have a club to club them. We didn't have a net. We didn't have life preservers. We just had our two poles and the oars, and we are fighting these fish at the same time. And it's crazy to get these things in the boat. They're flipping, and so we'd muscle them up into the boat, and then they're flapping like crazy. And I'm getting, like, scales all over me and fish blood. And, like, I'm sorry if you don't fish. This might be really boring and maybe violent, but you have to grab the fish by the top of the head, and you have to use a whacker, and you whack them on the head, and they're done. That's it. It's a quick death. I didn't have a club, so I'm holding fish that are flapping, punching the fish in the bottom, and stuff is flying everywhere, and I get his off, and he's back on again, and so then I'm catching, and the limit is 8, and so we just kept bringing fish on, and we're punching them, and there's fish flopping, and the whole boat, before we know it, is covered with fish. We have 8 fish in the bottom of the boat, and so all of a sudden, things kind of, like, calm down and, like, relax, and the fish kind of stop jumping. There's kind of a window of opportunity that sometimes happens in the afternoon where they're all jumping and feeding, and so we're just, like, we're looking out, like, at this beautiful sunset over the Puget Sound. And just, like, it was, like, awesome. We were just, like, praising God. Like, what a great time that we had. And then we look back and realize that the tide has taken us, like, out into the sound. And we are way far from the beach. And we don't have any life jackets. And so we're, like, you know, like, going against. And it took us, like, 20 minutes to get back to the shore. But, you know, we got all the salmon there. Here, if you want to put the picture up. Here's me right after this happened. If you could see all the stuff that's on me. It was pretty crazy. Here, the next slide is of my buddy Kurt. This is the wild man, Kurt. He's like, he's crazy. He's like, let's just go do this. He's one of my greatest friends. I love him because he just goes for it all the time. So he convinced me to go out there. You know, I was thinking about how often my life looks like this. Then I'm sitting on the shore, and I am exerting all of my effort, all of what I have, to try and get out into what God has for me. And I'm exerting, and God is saying, you got to come to me. You just got to take a step out of the boat, because there is a flow of God's goodness. Like, that flow of salmon is like being in the flow of God's goodness. Like, when you get out into the flow of God's goodness, there's nothing like it. Like, it is glorious. It's wonderful to be in God's goodness, and he has so much for us. He has great things for us when we step out of the boat. But we're going to dive in here, and so this morning is going to be really easy. If you're taking notes, I just have 2 questions that we're going to focus on this morning. I'd encourage you to write these down, because I think they're actually good to think about during this week, or you can remember them. But the first question is, what is stopping you from getting out of the boat? In order to figure this out, I think it's necessary for us to kind of look deep. We have to kind of have some introspection and say, you know, what is it in my life that is stopping me from getting out of the boat? And that's a dangerous ground. That's kind of scary sometimes to think about that, because you might find some inconsistencies in your own life. But I promise you that the great thing is that when we figure this out, the pain that we may experience in trying to figure that out is not nearly as great as all. It's great when we figure it out, because then we can step out of the boat. And I'm telling you, there are great things that God has for us, much better than the pain that we may experience while we're trying to go through and figure out what it is that is stopping us. So there's a few things. There probably, even when I said this question, you all of a sudden may have some things coming into your head. I think that there's a lot of different things that can keep us from getting out of the boat. But there's just a few that I'm going to focus on this morning, ones that I personally struggle with. The first one is we overthink it. Now, I think that this is something that a lot of people struggle with, because when God all of a sudden asks us to do something, it's very tempting to just make sure it all makes perfect logical sense. Like, it's got to make sense. It's got to be just right. It's got to be perfect. And then, you know, maybe if it's safe and if I figured it all out and then it makes logical sense, then maybe I'll dip my toe in the water. And then maybe if it's not too cold, then maybe then I will get out of the boat. And I'm not making fun of you think this way, because I think that probably a lot of us think this way. I think that a lot of us get stuck in our own heads, and we overthink things. We want it to make so much sense, but sometimes God is telling us to do something that is maybe not going to make as much sense as you want it to. Now, I'm not saying that we have to check our brains in at the door to be a Christian. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we completely throw out any type of logic when we follow Jesus, but I think sometimes we miss really unique opportunities, these windows of opportunity that God has for us because we get stuck in our own heads and we never make the decision to get out of the boat. There was this time where I was at my old church, and it was a Sunday morning, and we were in this worship time. And we were having this great time worshiping God, and I felt like God all of a sudden started speaking to me. And this doesn't happen super often of where it's this specific, but when I was in worship, I felt like God was telling me to go to Don, who was our head usher. He was this big guy. He was like 6'5". And he said, you need to go to him and tell him that he's going to be okay. He's not going to die of cancer. And it was so out of the blue because I didn't have any indication that Don was struggling with dying of cancer. I hadn't heard anything. And so it was so out of the blue that I really started arguing with God. And I started going through this process of like overthinking it. And I was like, God, I don't want to do that. This isn't something that I feel like is logical. It doesn't make sense. I haven't heard anything. There's no logical reason for me to go do that. And I was getting stuck in my own head at that point, but we were in worship and then the message started and I still couldn't get out of my head. I kept trying to push it away. I was like, God, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the guy. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that would be a lot better at this than I would. I think that that would be a mistake. What if it's wrong? You know, what if he just looks at me and he thinks I'm just the biggest weirdo ever and I have to go to church with this guy? And so anyways, I couldn't get it out of my head. And all of a sudden after church, I finally relented and I was just like, okay, I guess that maybe you want me to do this and I'm just going to step out of the boat here and going to go talk to Don. And so Don is there after church. I'm going down the hall and I run into Don and I sit there and I'm like, Don, I was struggling through the words and I'm like, this may sound totally weird and I'm sorry if it does, but I feel like Jesus is telling me that you're going to be okay. You're not going to die of cancer. And all of a sudden, Don's eyes got really big, and I'm like, what's going on? And he was like, hey, he goes, this is crazy. He goes, my dad died of pancreatic cancer a while ago, and he said that he was all of a sudden feeling like this anxiety, like that maybe he had cancer, and he was getting really anxious. He was feeling like there was something going on in his body. He had made an appointment for the next day, and he said that he hadn't told anyone. And so he started like crying when he was talking to me, and he was like, man, this is unbelievable. And he, just the release and relief that I saw in Don, I'll never forget it. Because I could tell that he knew how much Jesus cared for him. That he knew that he was going to be okay at that point. And I told him, go to the doctor. He still went to the doctor and found out that everything was okay the next day. But a few things happened in this. You know, it was definitely for Don. God had a word for Don. God gave me a specific assignment. And luckily that time, there's a lot of times where I don't get out of the boat, but I did on that one. And then God was showing me, hey, I speak in specific ways. Like I'm always talking. Like I want you to hear my voice and then obey me because there are great things that happen when we hear God's voice. Great things happen. So there's going to be times where God calls you to do things that either you don't want to do or don't make sense. But I'm telling you, it is glorious when you go out and you do it. And so I just want to encourage you with that. You know, I think that even this overthinking will keep people away from actually having an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've seen it over and over where people go, man, I know that I probably should, but they start thinking, well, it needs to make logical sense or it needs to look a certain way. I want God to have this booming voice or show up in front of me. And it doesn't work that way. Like Jesus wants us to take a step towards him. He's standing there. It's like, I died for you. I love you. I want to have this relationship with you. But he requires a step of faith. He wants you to step out into the void and be with him. And all of a sudden, great things are going to happen. And so I want to encourage you, if you have been overthinking this, if you are getting stuck in your own head and you're not taking that step to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, please come talk to one of us. There's going to be prayer partners here at the end. You can talk to me or Pastor Jeremiah or whoever, but we want to help you with that. It is really amazing when you start moving into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So the second thing that I think that stops us from getting out of the boat is comparisons. When God calls us to do something, I think it's very tempting to say, hey, you know, there's a lot of other people who are way more qualified than I am to do that. So I fall into this all the time, where I sometimes struggle, especially the things that I fear, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, and instead of stepping out into that, I'll use the excuse of comparisons to get out of that thing. So I'll say, hey, no, there's other people that are much better at that than me. And we're not alone. There are all sorts of examples in the Bible of great people who experienced the same thing. And so one of them that always stands out to me is Gideon. This is in Judges 6. And I'm just going to read, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but just this part I think is really fascinating. In verse 14, it says, "The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?'" So God had something for Gideon. God had an assignment for him. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon said, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." So this is where we get stuck sometimes. Gideon's sitting there comparing his whole clan to the other clan, saying, we're the weakest. And then if you're going to choose anybody in my family, don't choose me. I'm the weakest in my family. I got a bunch of other people in my family that would be more qualified than me. But God chose Gideon. And that's the thing, is God will choose us, uniquely us, to do certain things that he wants us to do. And then we have a choice. Are we going to get out of the boat and are we going to do this thing? Or are we going to make excuses and comparisons? And sometimes that's where the story ends. We just make a comparison and we get stuck in this and we don't actually get to experience the great things that God has for us. This almost stopped me from talking to Dawn, because I thought, man, there are so many other people. I was going to this really charismatic church. I'm like, look at all these people like raising their hands and dancing. And I mean, they obviously are way more Christian than I am. Ask them to do that. That's not a Corbett thing. But it was because God had called Corbett to do that. And it was an assignment that God had for me. You got to read the rest of the story of Gideon, by the way, because he does get out of the boat. It's awesome. And I'm not going to read it for you, but it's really great. So get into Judges 6 and 7. The last thing that I want to talk about as far as what stops us from getting out of the boat is fear. I think that the comparisons and the overthinking it is a lot of times just tied into a fear that we have. So when we have a fear, then all of a sudden we'll start using all sorts of excuses to get out of it. And fear can paralyze us. I really believe that multitudes of people never fully do what God has called them to do because they rest in the fear, because they never take that step to challenge that fear and go forward. And that is a difficult thing. People have all sorts of different fears in all sorts of different areas, but sometimes God is calling us to get out of the boat in the thing that we fear most. I mean, what's interesting, and I don't know, a lot of you know this about me, but some of you don't, is I have a fear of public speaking. Kind of silly, and I'm up here. And it always freaks me out as much as I do it. I was freaking out last night. I was freaking out this morning. And yet God's like, I got this message that you got to give, and I want you to do it. And so I've gotten kind of used to getting out of this boat when it comes to my fear. And what's interesting is that my wife does not have this fear at all. She can get up in front of 5,000 people. She's gotten up in front of thousands of people, and she just doesn't have that fear. She just will speak, and it's all good. And so she's always like, you're fine. Just go do it. And I'm like, I'm not fine. The thing is that's really interesting, though, is that get me into a party where I don't know anybody, I love it. Like, I'll go talk to everybody. I'm like, everybody's got a story. I want to go talk to them. I want to go find out their story. She hates that. Well, I don't know if she hates it. She has a fear of it. And so it's the worst thing for her to go out and do a party with a bunch of people that she doesn't know. And I'm always like, oh, it's great. It's like, it's not great. I want to stay home. But we've had to work with each other on this and help each other and encourage each other and pray for each other. It's hard to have perspective when that's not your fear, but that's why we have to be in a community, right? We want to lean on the person who doesn't have that fear so they can help encourage us and move us forward. Regardless of what your fear may be, we got to get this straight. The Bible is very clear that fear is not from God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind." And I love that. That is a verse that I have memorized. I want to put up on my fridge. I don't have it up there right now, but it's a great verse to be thinking about when you have fear, when you're facing something. And the thing is that the enemy will use fear to keep us in the boat. The enemy doesn't want us to get out of the boat. I'm talking about Satan. I'm talking about the enemy. And he'll use fear any way that he can to keep us in the boat. And there eventually is a time where you have to take Jesus' hand. You have to face that fear. You have to be delivered of that fear, and you have to go forward with God wants for you. And again, when we do this, great things can happen. I wonder about this story with Peter. I wonder what would have happened if he didn't doubt. I always wonder, what would that story have looked like? Like, if he just went and he looked at Jesus and he didn't look another way, I wonder if Jesus and him would have walked all the way to shore and just had this like amazing conversation, like walking on the water. That may have happened. I don't know what Peter would have done, but I think about that and think that Jesus said, "Why'd you doubt?" Like he said, "You have little faith," and I think he was actually trying to help Peter, saying, "Why did you doubt? Like there is unlimited possibilities when you keep your focus on me." And this is not a pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just figure it out. That's not what I'm saying. Because immediately when we start doing that is when we start sinking. If we start thinking that we can do it alone and we stop looking at Jesus, the one who makes it possible for us to get out of the boat, that's when we start sinking. And that's what happened to Peter. He started looking to the left and right. He saw the waves. He saw the wind. Fear set in. And then he began to sink. Now, Jesus grabbed him, right? Immediately, he helped him out of that. Jesus isn't going to let us sink. But there is something very unlimiting when we keep our focus on Jesus, take his hand and let him follow him, let him lead us. There are plenty of times where I feel fearful, but during those times, we need to look at verses like Psalms 56:3, "When I am afraid, I trust in you." I love that one as well. "When I'm afraid, I trust in you, Lord. I know that you're here with me. I know that I can rely on you and that you're going to keep me from fear." We need to understand our position and authority that we have in Jesus Christ. And I believe that God works gently with us to take us from being fear and being in bondage to being liberated, to being in liberty with him, free from fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you." You need to realize that Jesus has not abandoned you. Jesus has not abandoned me in my fear. He's with me. And so I can step out into these things that I'm fearful of because I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it with Jesus Christ right there with me. He's with me and he's with you. And if you're at this crossroads in your life where you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to figure out, hey, how can I step out of the boat? I just want you to think about these verses. You know, write them down. Meditate on them. You know, make them a reality in your life because Jesus is with you. He doesn't want you to be fearful. It's not from him. He's given you a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And that's an exciting thing. Which brings us to our second question. What is it that you feel like God is calling you to do right now? And again, this is, for as many people as there are here this morning, I think you're going to have that many different answers to this question. Because it's not going to be the same for everybody. I think that God calls us to do different things in different seasons and calls you specifically, gives you assignments to do certain things. And God wants to work with you in this. And so I would definitely spend some time thinking about this and asking God, what do you want me to do right now? And the answer might be that God is calling you to change jobs. I'm not saying to go out there and abandon your job and just go for something else, but it could be that for a long time you've been feeling like God is calling you to change jobs, yet you feel like you're stuck. There's something about it where you're like, I don't know if it's fear or if you're overthinking it or whatever it is, and God's saying, hey, you need to step out and do something that I've asked you to do. And it could be that you need to change jobs and that you need to start making those steps. It might be that God is calling you to give a certain amount of money or serve in a specific way. Maybe that every time we mention the rescue van, we mention this quite a bit, where we go out and we help people who are out on the streets of Seattle. And every time we say it, you're like, yeah, that's something that I feel like doing. That's something that I probably should do. Yet we overthink it. Or we say, oh, no, that's something for somebody else to do. That's something for Garth and Danielle. Like, they're really good with people out there. They're going to pray for people. That's their thing, not my thing. It could be that you're maybe there's fear involved in that. Maybe just going out at night on the rescue van is a fearful thing for you. But I'm telling you, if God wants you to do it, step out into that. There's really exciting things that can happen because of that. And I'm just using the rescue van as an example, but it could be all sorts of different things. He might be trying to help you with an attitude adjustment or a change in behavior that is limiting, somebody's laughing out there, limiting you from what God wants in your life. This is like a constant for me, actually. There's always an attitude adjustment that I could be making. I mean, there's other things I could step out in, but yeah, I think that God may have something for us in that, and that might be you. It's definitely me. And it could be that Jesus is just telling you to hold fast. Just be patient. You know, it could be like you really want to jump out of the boat. You just want to say, yeah, I want to get out of the boat. You're like fired up right now, and you're like, okay, I'm just going to go do this thing. But again, we have to rely on God, and we have to do it in God's timing. And God might be telling you hold fast, wait for me, be patient, wait for the thing that I'm telling you to do in my timing, because in my timing, it's perfect. And I'm going to finish this out this morning with a story that I'm living right now, that I'm actually in the middle of. But it started back in 08. And we've been, Amanda and I and our kids have been in a holding pattern for 8 years of where God has told us to stop and hold fast. Don't move forward yet. It's not my timing. And that's been one of the most difficult things that we've actually ever gone through in our marriage life. And so what happened was back in 08, I was flipping homes before that. I was doing homes around here in Ballard, and we flipped a number of homes, and we were doing really well, and then we creeped up into 08, and all of a sudden things did not go so well. For some people, it went really bad. For us, we actually were able to escape. We sold the last couple homes, but we did not make money. In fact, we slid into quite a bit of debt. So we were sitting on this pile of debt after that. And then through that, and me trying to control my own finances and make my own decisions, we decided, well, let's make a long-term safe investment. And so we'll put the money there, and then we'll ride it out because we have the ability to ride it out. And then once it comes back around, it's all going to be good. So we make this large investment. And during that time, so the investment was Washington Mutual. and so Washington Mutual is what I had done all of my business with. I had flipped all my homes with them. That's what we banked with forever. I'd done all the research. I was like, okay, this is fine. Like, this is a decent investment for us to make. So I got called to a mission in Ghana with my buddy Matt. And so I was gone in Africa at the time when it crashed. I didn't have access to the accounts. I didn't have any internet access. Amanda was freaking out, didn't know what to do. She couldn't get a hold of me. So literally, while I was in Africa, we lost six figures. And it happened overnight. The money disappeared. So I came back from Africa, and I was like, okay, what are we going to do? Like, I just thought, well, are we going to bankrupt? Are we going to foreclose on the house? Or, you know, what are we going to do? So both of us went to prayer. I fasted and for 3 days and was in prayer. And at the end of that, God told me, he goes, hey, you know what? You have stopped listening to me. You have forsaken your call. I called you to be a pastor back when you were in high school, and you stopped listening to me. And so God said, this is your time. You're supposed to be a pastor. And so that was what I had heard. What Amanda had heard is she came at that going, hey, I can do this. We can go live in a little apartment. We've done this before. We're fine. And God told her that would be fine. You could do that. You could actually unravel this whole thing and go live in an apartment, but it's not my best. My best is for you to hold fast and to learn in this time from me. And so that's what she decided to do. We decided as a couple to do. And so we held fast. So we stayed in our house, and it has been the most unbelievable 8 years, actually, of spending time with the Lord and having him teach us on how to rely on him with every financial decision, because there was no other way. There was times that we came up to a bill and we're like, I don't know how it's going to happen. And then God came through every single time, every single time. We never, ever missed a bill. We didn't go bankrupt. We didn't foreclose. We still have perfect credit because we never missed a payment. Because God was telling me, hey, this is not the way to not live is the way you're living before, where you're making your own financial decisions. The way to live is what I have for you. It's in this time. Now, it took me 8 years. Maybe it takes people less time, but I think it took me a full 8 years to learn this lesson. There was eventually a point where I released and said, hey, God, if I don't learn this lesson, just don't give it to me, because I don't want to live that same life as I lived before. And so anyways, we had held on for a certain amount of time. Well, back right when I started hearing from God, when it came to getting out of the boat, when it came to this message, Valerie came to me on a Sunday morning, and she goes, God gave me an assignment and said, I'm going to pray for three very specific things for you. You got to give me your three biggest burdens. And so I did. I wrote them out in this email. So don't go to Valerie and say, hey, pray for me. She, it was an assignment that she had from God to speak to me about this. And so I wrote them out. One of the biggest burdens was this house, like this huge amount of debt that we were drowning in. And we had learned to just kind of deal with it, but it still felt like a lot of pressure of having this debt. And so she started diligently praying and asking me about it. And so during that time, all of a sudden, it had been really silent, it seemed like, for a long time when it came to this, but all of a sudden we felt like God started speaking to us, like, hey, it's coming, it's about time. You know, we start feeling the anticipation of it. it was like, it's about time. You're going to need to do this. You're going to need to sell your house. Like, it's going to happen here. And so we started feeling this. We started talking about it. We started like, I mean, it was some anxiety. It was some fear. We'd been in this house for 12 years. And God's like, no, this is going to happen. So you need to do this. And then I started really feeling like, oh, there's a time limit here. There's a window of opportunity that God has for me that I need to move forward in. So we have a conversation with our real estate agent, and we had done all the flips with him. He didn't know our whole story, so I told him the story, and he said, hey, I'm going to take less of a commission. This is going to happen. We're going to sell this house for more than I thought that really the house was worth. But he's like, we're going to do this. And so I was like, okay. So we put it on the market right at the end of May, and then within 5 days, we had a full-price, non-contingent, pre-approved offer that was like the golden offer. Right. It was awesome. And so it was amazing. and it's crazy. So we're moving, by the way, if you didn't know that. The cool thing is we're moving closer to the church. We're actually moving to the west side of Green Lake. God provided a way for us to get a place over there to rent. And so but we literally went from swimming under a debt that we did not feel like we'd ever get out of to we're going to be completely debt-free in a week. And that's awesome. God's good, right? And I just believe that's who God is. I believe that God is in the job of canceling out debts that we don't feel like we could ever repay. That's who God is, right? He died on the cross for us. He loves us. He canceled our debt of sin. And I believe that he's that type of God who wants that for us. But this isn't the end, right? It's funny because it feels like finality in certain ways, but I also just feels like the beginning. Because now it's what we really need to do is continue to focus on God and do what God wants for us. Because if all of a sudden I start taking my eyes off Jesus now, when all of a sudden we're not under this burden of debt, man, I'll tell you what, we'll begin to sink immediately if we start looking to the left or to the right. So now it is very important. I mean, it's always important to look towards Jesus, but I don't feel like this is the end. Oh, good, we can relax and it's all good. It's like this is just another beginning of living out a life that God wants for us. And I feel like in some ways it's going to be a whole new way of living. So I just wanted to tell you that, even though we're in the midst of it, to hopefully encourage you. There might be something that you feel burdened by. It might be something that you want to get out of right away. But I tell you what, that 8 years, I never would have gone back and made a different decision, because there were great things that God had for us in those 8 years, some things that I took in during that time that will never leave me. And so I just want to encourage you with that go forward with God. Take his hand. Look towards him. God has great things for you, because when you get out of the boat, you can get into that flow of God's goodness, and he wants it for you. So let's pray. Lord, it's so good to be in your house and to learn from you and to worship you, Lord. We thank you that you love us so deeply, so much, Lord. We thank you that you teach us lessons, and we thank you that you speak to us, and that when we follow you, unbelievable things happen, Father. And so we just thank you that Peter was such an amazing example, that he got out of the boat and he showed us the way, that there's a way to live, that when Jesus says come, that we would come, that we wouldn't do it on our own strength, but we'd only do it when you say. And so, Father, I pray that we would all have ears to hear, and when you say come, that we would have the strength to get out of the boat. Father, I thank you, even as a church, as a whole, Lord, that you would speak to us, and that we would get out of the boat together in areas when it comes to continue to serve in our city and in this world. So, Father, I just pray that you would speak to us, Lord, and that we would have the courage to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you.